when I heard the gurgle of a water pipe. So I turned to see my monster in a cloud of smoke, who said, "This shit ain't bad. Here, have a toke.
We smoke some hash.
We smoke some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
It was his personal stash.
We smoke some hash.
We got completely trashed.
A monster hash.
We smoke some monster hash. As we parted in the castle with the living dead. Mouths were dry and eyes were red. The ghouls and goblins shrieked and screamed. Won't somebody please pass the Visine?
They smoked some hash.
They smoked some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
From Frankie's personal stash.
We smoked some hash.
And they all were smashed.
A monster hash.
They smoked some monster hash. The mummy was toking on a ball. Man said, "Don't bogart that, pass it along." The swamp thing was toasted, rolling on the floor, laughing hysterically and pleading for more. The scene was rocking as the werewolves moved to the undead reggae band's dance hall grooves. Meanwhile, in the kitchen, Frankenstein baked some Alice B. Toklas brownies and cakes.
We ate some hash.
We ate some monster hash. It had the graveyard smash.
We ate some hash.
And we all got trashed.
A monster hash.
We ate some monster hash. The party would have gone on till we all passed out. But just then we heard a blood-curdling shout. Watch out! Beware! Cover your necks! Dracula's got the munchies and he's totally wrecked.
He smoked some hash.
He smoked some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
He was completely smashed.
He smoked some hash.
That Transylvanian's trash.
A monster hash.
He smoked some monster hash.
Whoa.
Now every night the dead rise up from the grave.
Whoa.
To partake in a happening THC rave.
Whoa.
For you, the living, this hash was meant to.
Whoa.
When you get to my door, just say the toys sent you.
We'll smoke some hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
Some monster hash.
We'll all get trashed.
We'll smoke some hash.
From my personal stash.
A monster hash.
We'll smoke some monster hash.
Hash.
Easy boy, save some for daddy.
Now on RadioVegas.rocks, it's time for the Oscar, Bernie and Ernie History of Comedy Show. They know a lot, cause they were there to live it. Now, give it up for your hosts of the show that is making history, Oscar, Bernie and Ernie.
Hey, it's great to be back over here at the Oscar and Bernie with Ernie, History of Comedy Hour. Ernie's sitting in here tonight. We want to say hi to Ernie.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Hey, we're out here hanging out, having some pizza over here at the, where are we at? The 44th floor behind the Korean taco stand or someplace
radio
like that.
It's Radio Vegas.
It's Radio Vegas. All right. Well, it's the same place I'm over here at every week. Anyways, we're going to be talking some comedy tonight. Hopefully, we're going to have some ventriloquists lined up to listen to.
Typical comics.
You know, the best ventriloquist I ever heard was on a radio show.
There you go. Back to Edgar and Bergen. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. Was that it?
I don't know. But a radio show, you don't see the person. So
yeah, I know. There you go.
On a radio show, it's kind of a, you know.
Not everybody's as old as you.
Yeah. Well, but a good thing about Edgar Bergen being on a radio is the guy, his lips were moving a mile a minute. You know, at least I play off of that. But, yeah, this should be an interesting evening, listening to some of the people we got lined up here. We want to thank our sponsors that we want to give it a shout-out to Pete's Wheatgrass. You get those fellas over there on Facebook and at their website, Pete's Wheatgrass. It's the most oxygenated liquid that you can drink, actually, and it's quite healthy for you. Also, we want to thank the Amnesia Salon over on Losi Road, 6462. Give a shout-out to our other Ernie over there. They're open Monday to Saturday, 9 to 6. And they do color highlights, Brazilians, manzillions. They even got a chiropractor over there to bend you back into shape. So anyways, tonight what we want to do is we want to start off with some comedy. And our producer here, Mr. J, has got something for us to listen to. So let's jump on to that for a few minutes and check that out. Thanks.
So, Walter, you want to talk a little politics?
Oh, sure. Why not?
So the past few months, have you liked the candidates?
You're kidding me, right? It's like looking down the bar right before closing time. You're like, that's it? This is all we had to choose from? Can this be like poker? Can we fold and start with a new hand, please?
But you know, the big political news now is that both Ted Cruz and John Kasich have dropped out of the race for the Republicans.
But before the polls closed in Indiana, Ted Cruz called Trump a pathological liar, a Laurel, a narcissist, and a serial philanderer.
That's right.
I'm pretty sure Trump was probably like, yeah, and? You know, sadly, all those things make him qualified to be a politician. That's why he's ahead. It's like our country's like, hey, this guy's an asshole. Let's make him president.
But during Trump's speech, he said he didn't really know if Cruz liked him or not.
I'm going to go with, no. So it's going to be Hillary versus Donald.
Probably.
Well, no matter whichever one of them wins, we're once again going to have an old white guy as president. You get it?
They got it. The next big question is who Trump will pick as running mate.
Right.
Have you seen how Chris Christie is sticking to Donald Trump's side?
Oh, yeah, it's pretty easy. Trump just keeps treats in his pocket. Seriously, if you have bacon anywhere on you, that guy will follow you home.
He's vowed to stay in the race through the convention.
What's Sanders going to do if he's not president? Go back into the balcony and heckle the Muppets? How about putting his white suit back on and keep selling fried chicken? It's the same guy.
So, Walter, do you feel the burn?
Every time I pee.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the same reason Bill does.
Will you stop it? You know, earlier this week, Hillary apologized to an unemployed miner who confronted her over comments about putting coal miners out of business.
You said coal miners.
That's right.
You know, I could make up a joke here involving Hillary in an old abandoned mine shaft, but I'm not going to. All I will say is Bill Trotley hasn't worn his hard hat in a long time. Smells like dead canary down here.
Walter! Walter!
By the way, isn't today Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, oh, good. You know, if Trump becomes president, he'll rename the holiday May 5th.
Very good. Funny, funny, funny. Jeff Dunham, hilarious with Walter, doing some political, topical humor right there. That's pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, that obviously was before the primaries ended. And, yeah, he was, everything was kind of funny back then. Donald had a sense of humor, and Hillary had a sense of whatever. And it wasn't common, but it was sense. And it's sad what you're seeing right now out there. It's really
You got to keep laughing. I hope Trump gets elected because for comedy, that's the greatest thing. I mean, I started off one of my Trump observation from the get-go was, as I noticed that the thing I think was the Addams Family and the It was the Munsters, wasn't it? I got them backwards. Well, anyways,
yeah,
they got together.
You got them backwards. Yeah.
All right. Well, they get together at prom and they end up having a kid, right? And it's Donald Trump's hair.
Anything?
Yeah, because remember, wasn't the one the hand? The thing was the hand, and it was the hairy critter.
Right.
So you got this hairy hand sitting on top of Donald's head, but there's one wild hair over there telling him what to do is what I think is the way to happen.
Put thing in it together and you get a thit.
Yeah, you get a toupee for Trump. But a lot of comedy there involved, and I had the pleasure of meeting Jeff Dunham back in about, I think it was about the year 2000. He was working a Holiday Inn in Youngstown, Ohio, and I went there and I had a chance to talk to him, and I mentioned to him that a ventriloquist by the name of Jimmy Still gave me the first parrot head for Bernie.
Yeah, thanks a lot. The only time I ever got any head.
All right, settle down. So anyways, I said to him, I go, did you ever bump into a guy by the name of Jimmy Still? And he told me about Jimmy's passing, which hit me kind of rough. I mean, the kid's lived with me for a while here in Vegas when he was kind of between shows. He worked at the Catch a Rising Star over at the MGM for a while. Jimmy was a good guy, about 7 years younger than me, but I don't understand how that guy had, you know, he wasn't like overweight or anything, how he just ended up dropping dead, but he drank a lot of Jolt.
And then he died.
And that is a punchline for about all the stories of everybody I've ever known, but I'm at that age now, and God bless you, Jim. I'm glad, you know, you're still here with us, too. You'll be 62 this year.
I mean, yeah, we had a lot of interesting roommates, and like, And a lot of friends. I mean, Drew Barry.
Drew Carey.
Drew Carey came over several times when Paul and I lived together.
Right. Because he was sleeping on Brown's couch, Paul Brown's couch at one point here in town.
Yeah.
When he was, I think, working the Denny's on the Strip. But he never likes admitting that he started here in town. You know, it's always Cleveland, Cleveland, Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, you know, you got to have someone make... Feel sorry for you. You know, in Cleveland, saying you're from Cleveland, people really feel sorry for you.
Hey, not anymore. Tonight, we beat the Cubs. Usually, we're not too political on this show or can really tell, you know, what maybe when the show is actually shot or whatever because we like to talk comedy and stuff. But I think because it is close to the election and you know, sports is a big thing today. The Cavs got their rings in Cleveland. I mean, it was amazing to see Cleveland on two different national TV channels tonight.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I mean, to win the NBA championship and then to go to the World Series and their favorites, and you know, they sure as heck don't have a football team. So.
No, and we're the underdogs. I know. We had a football team, but it ran to Baltimore, and I think they got a Super Bowl win over there after they did that.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, I'm from Minnesota, and usually when I'm doing my speeches or whatever, that's the first thing I bring up is I'm from Minnesota, and that's like Cleveland is to get pity right away.
Well, and what
people
town?
Feel sorry for you.
Well, and the name of the town that you're originally from?
Well, originally from Matamida, but I grew up in New Hope.
Oh, New Hope. So that's, I mean, there's the irony of that.
New Hope. Yes.
But Minnesota was never quite, well, there was a lot of Sven and Ollie jokes and stuff like that. I guess you could actually say they've been picked on pretty good. There's been a lot of Cleveland jokes over
Well,
there.
Yeah, I mean, well, Cleveland deserves the jokes. I mean, it's like I've been there before.
You're just one of them to say you've been there.
It's just I can't remember. I've been in so many toilet bowls. I thought one of them must have been Cleveland.
Ouch. I want to take this from an Eskimo from Minnesota. I never got that far north.
I'd rather be an Eskimo than a Joe Blow from Cleveland.
I never needed to go see a polar bear.
Well, we don't have polar bears there, but we do have a lot of nice looking, you know, women. They usually leave by the time they're 18.
Well, right? Yeah. I noticed a lot of Minnesota plates when I was parking hookers. I mean, the ladies of whatever they were working over at the casinos.
Be very careful. Minnesota is one of the toughest states in the country as far as, you know, sex trafficking and stuff.
Well, I believe it. Because they got all those pretty blonde girls, they hit 18 years old. They want to run away from mom and dad. And in fact, that reminds me.
They want
to
run away from 40 below is what they want to run away from.
Yeah, talk about below. Anyways, they come to Vegas. And in fact, we got a new sponsor this week. We got a commercial. And we're going to cut to them right now. Here it is. Here we go. I'm going to cue it in. All right, here we go.
Don't delay, but if you do lay, you too can come to the School of Prostitution in Pahrump, Nevada. That's right. Go over to Hump to the Pahrump School of Prostitution, where you too can make $80,000 a year, work 80 hours, and never get off your back. So call 1-800-SCREW-ME, and we have classes forming shortly.
All right, get that guy off the air. Who the hell was that? I don't know what that was.
Boy, that's called the first class is Hump the Lump 101.
I don't know. They got the chicken ranch over there. It's about the only place that's legal in America now is over there in Pahrump. Anyways, I think this is time, a good time. Do you think, producer, a good time to cut away to another comic? If we have any other ventriloquists that we're going to listen to maybe tonight, that would be great. If not, we'll break out Bernie
Sports?
And do a few minutes.
Yeah. What's the matter? You look like you're a little depressed.
Well, I am depressed. Yeah. Yeah. I took a train to Wales and I found out... No. I can't talk about it.
That's okay. I respect your privacy.
All right. Stop this interrogation, I'll tell you. Gee, you twisted my tail. As you know, I went to Wales to find out about my ancestors.
So what did you find out?
I found out something in that book right there.
This book?
Uh-huh. I borrowed it from that library in that little town in Wales.
What town?
I knew you were going to ask. Hang on. The town is called Llanfair Tolgwynius Golgera Clintrodus Llantacilio Ogogogach.
You have an American accent.
I know.
Well, what did you learn that was so depressing here in this book?
Ron, I'm a girl.
I beg your pardon?
You heard me on the female dragon. Look on page 27. It says right there that male dragons have something female dragons don't. And I don't have it. I know, I've checked. I've checked everywhere, Ron. I don't have it.
Well, Scorch, it looks like these descriptions appear to fit like a full-grown male or female dragon. You know, you're hardly an adult.
Well, neither are you that I don't run around telling everyone. Okay, all right.
Scorch, I really don't know.
Now, face it, Ron. I'm no longer one of the guys. I'm the Nancy Dragon. Just call me Scorchina. I'm the dragon in drag. Now, hang on.
Now, wait just a minute. Now, listen. If this is true, you're going to grow up to be a lady dragon. And I think that's terrific, because nowadays a girl can grow up and do anything in the working world that a man can do, right?
Yeah, for half the money.
Hey, wait a minute. You're being silly. Remember, the prime minister of this country happens to be a woman.
Yeah, that she found she was female long before she found out she was a dragon. Yeah.
I wouldn't start shaving my legs if I were you.
Why?
Well, there's something about this book you didn't notice. It's upside down.
Yeah?
Yeah, see this little horn here?
Huh?
Female dragons don't have it. You're a dude.
Wow. It's so big, too. Scorch.
Ron Lucas. He's worked Vegas for a number of years, too, here. Have you ever seen him?
Never have. I know of him and heard nothing but good things about him.
Right.
Yeah, I went and saw... Who?
Terry Fader.
Terry Fader. I was real impressed with him.
He's amazing.
I mean, he really is. And, you know, what a heart. You know what I mean? At the end of his show, he actually had... well, not at the end, but during his show, he talks about the veterans and all the money that he makes from all the sales of his stuff goes directly to the veterans.
Fantastic.
And he, a couple months before we were there, he actually, and he had video of it, of the guy who had lost both of his legs, I mean, all of his legs. And you know, he was able to, the guy walked out on stage because of these legs after a lot of rehabilitation and stuff. And he called Terry right, like a day before we did our show, and Terry was telling the audience how, you know, the guy told him, my daughter's getting married and I get a walker down the aisle.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, there's very few dry eyes in the house. I mean,
wow.
Just, he's funny, he's talented and you know, really, you know, very inspirational. And
it's so neat that America's Got Talent took somebody who was obscure and made him a star. I mean, he has fantastic talent.
Unbelievable that the, I mean, because he doesn't move his lips.
Right.
I mean, you know, for nothing.
Right.
I mean,
I heard the same thing when he farts.
Yeah, you can't see his lips move, but I'm not looking there. So, That's not my forte.
Well, the puppet said he finally got even when he got his hand up his ass.
That's right. And he did a couple of things on Trump and Hillary that were hilarious. And so he got political, too. And so, you know, and I guess everybody does right now. But, I mean, it you know, one thing that really shows you the state of this country is that, you know, one of the main focuses of both political parties is Ohio.
Ah, boy, that just drives you nuts. They're crazy. And a bunch of worthless nuts like us Buckeyes get so much attention. Oh. You know, it's got to be tough sitting up there in Minnesota looking down on the rest of the country going, oh, it's cold up here and everybody else is down there having fun.
Well, actually, they're not having much fun because we're looking down on you.
Yeah, there you
but
go.
It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, who's got more NBA championships, Minnesota or Cleveland?
Probably the Lakers.
Yeah, Minneapolis Lakers.
They went to L.A. They got the hell out of there, too.
You know, the Minnesota Lynx, I mean, three out of the last 6 years.
What's that, Minnesota Lynx?
It's the WNBA.
We've won
three of the last 6 years. We got, you know, we got shafted against L.A. last week, but, I mean, you know.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's almost saying like your team won at polo or something. I don't know what the highlight.
Well, you know, actually, if you read the rules of basketball, the women actually play basketball where the men are playing some form.
I don't
of
know. Yeah, they run around a lot. Yeah, they move the ball around. They don't dribble as much as they used to.
Well, I mean, just to give you an idea, you know, I mean, it was a few years ago where, you know, what are the three biggest things in basketball to do is dribbling, passing, and shooting. And the most dominant player in the NBA – for about 8 years, couldn't dribble, pass, or shoot. We called him Shaq.
Ouch, ouch.
You know, so what does that say about the
game?
Well,
I don't know, though. Look what Kobe did once Shaq left, right? I mean, he didn't do as good, did he?
He didn't do anything.
Yeah, and Shaq got another ring when he was down there in Florida, right?
No, did not.
Didn't he?
Well, maybe he did.
I thought he did.
That's right, he did. He and, what's his face, Wade?
Yeah,
did get a championship down there, but who really cares? It's Florida. It's
not, you know what I mean? So, what other state should we pick on tonight?
Oh gosh, you know the only—I mean, it's just like you know we were talking before the Vikings. If anybody has a reason to feel sorry for anybody, it's being a Viking fan. I mean, no matter what happens, you know, one year we have a guy who doesn't miss a field goal.
What are the luckless losers? Didn't one of those
guys grab the ball and go the wrong way?
Shut
up for a second and listen. I mean, you
know, I don't want to hear your hard luck start.
We had a guy who didn't miss a field goal all year, didn't miss an extra point all year until the NFC Championship game, then miss a 30-freaking-yard field goal, and we don't go to the Super Bowl. Atlanta gets to go. And get their butt kicked in Denver.
They probably didn't give him any hot chocolate before the game.
That was Denver's first Super Bowl, and they still have to thank us for it because we had to kick their butts. There's no doubt about it. But, you know,
I don't know.
Everything. Last year we missed a 27-year-old.
You got a team called the Gophers. I mean, what's the heck? I mean,
what the hell's a Buckeye?
Well, at least it's a worthless nut. It's got a hard shell. It's like a golf ball, you know. We sit there on Lake Erie and hit them over the lake. Canada needs another tree, you know.
A Buckeye is a nut?
Yes, it's a worthless nut. No. You can't eat them. I don't know what you do with them. They just grow a big-ass tree, and they litter up the yard. But other than that, what's a gopher? It's a little rodent. I mean, it's not even a masculine kind of critter at all.
It's cute, at least. I mean, it's cute, and cuddly.
Make a Muppet out of it.
You know,
that's
what do you make out of a Buckeye? You know what I mean?
Puppet. Maybe a drink. I don't know.
You throw a Buckeye in the dirt, and, you know, in 200 years, you'll see, you know,
you get a tree. I don't know. Maybe they're toxic. I don't know. I don't know what they do. If there's any medicinal purposes with the Buckeye, I have no idea who came up with that.
Now, I don't believe anything in Ohio is medicinal.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Edison. He invented a few of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Something had to be medicinal with that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess he was cooking something up in his kitchen. He came up with a light bulb anyways.
Gosh.
All right, so anyways.
But yes, I'm like with you. I'm a Trump guy. I'm hoping Trump gets in. Hillary's not very funny. I mean, you know.
No, I know. There's not a lot of comedy
with her.
I mean,
you just feel sorry for her.
I know. Bill had some comedy, though.
Well, but I mean, still. I mean, Hillary's, you know, I mean, her husband hasn't had sex with her in probably, you know, since.
No, but I know.
Three years before he was
somebody
president.
In the White House probably did. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know that Hillary got Hillary got an award in the White House after they left.
Was it for cooking?
No, she was the only woman in the White House who hadn't slept with the president.
Ouch. I thought something was baking up over there. Hey, I got to give a shout-out to a great realtor here in town. We got a plug with my buddy over there at Mike Hallop at Century 21 Solutions, 702-533-4238. Give Mike a call if you're looking to buy or sell. your home and want an honest, hardworking realtor. That's Mike Hallop at Century 21 Solutions. Again, 702-533-4238. I want to give a shout-out also to Tax Service and More over at 3140 South Durango here in Las Vegas, right behind the Vaughn Shopping Center, 702-240-8090. Get a hold of the people over there if you got any tax problems. Do extensions, handle different bookkeeping services for you, whatever you need done to help you with the IRS, keeping them off your back. So anyways, again, 702-240-8090. And we're at the point where maybe we got something else to keep winding it up or going to the next thing. What does those symbols mean? I got to keep talking for a little bit.
No, that means
take a break. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to run some commercials.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad the boss is teaching me. This
so
is 101 Radio.
Just denied credit. You may be feeling embarrassed, discouraged, or even helpless.
I really thought that my credit was a lost cause. You know, it made me really sad to know that my credit was that messed up.
The credit pros understand. How could you build good credit when no one gives you a chance? How are you ever going to get the car you need or the house you deserve? Call the experts now at the Credit Pros and get your second chance.
My credit was horrible. I hired Credit Pros, and I got a brand new house. If it wasn't for Credit Pros, I wouldn't be in this house today.
Get your credit report summary free, and the consultation is free. The Credit Pros can help you remove questionable credit items like charge-offs, late payments, wrong information, and more. The Credit Pros is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau.
By me putting my faith in Credit Pros, I can breathe now. I advise everybody to give Credit Pros a try.
Call the Credit Pros for a free consultation right now.
Call the Credit Pros now. Toll free. 844-834-5065. 844-834-5065.
Are you 420 friendly? Then why not have 420 friendly accessories and earbuds? Presenting the OG Buds 4.1 Bluetooth wireless earbuds, OG Log, and the OG Blazing. Fast cables and chargers for your Apple and micro USB devices. Check them out at OGAudio.com. That's OGAudio.com. It's the fastest growing hard rock radio show in the world. It's Cranked Up Live, and it's heard right here on RadioVegas.rocks.
Hi, Gary Jackson here, just checking in to tell you that if you don't have the chance to listen to the live Dark Side of the Moon from midday to 2 p.m. on Sundays on RadioVegas.rocks, there is a listen again facility now on Wednesdays, again from midday to 2 p.m. So that's Dark Side of the Moon, live from England on Sunday, repeated Wednesdays from midday to 2 p.m.
I'm 25 years old. I just found out your brain's fully developed at 25. Shit. That means I'm done. I'm not very bright. I just got evicted out of my parents' house. Do you understand how tough that is? I came home and all my stuff was on the lawn. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, you do nothing. I was like, clean out the fridge. They're like, eating doesn't count. My dad's favorite thing to say, oh, I'm not sleeping. I'm just resting my eyes. He came in my room once. I was like, Dad, calm down. I'm not masturbating. I'm resting my ability to get laid. It's way different. Don't tell Mom. She's going to be mad if she knows I'm going to need glasses. Toughest thing about living with my parents, trying to bring home girls. Brought home a girl once for making small talk. She goes, so, are you close to your parents? I was like, sure. She goes, where do they live? I was like, upstairs. She flips out. She's like, this is your parents' house? I was like, no. I bought a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath, split level in the suburbs. I just thought it'd be cool to set up shop in the basement. Yes, it's their house. We start fooling around. She's like, aren't they going to hear us? I was like, I hope so. They think I'm gay. I could use some help at this point. The problem is I don't look like a man unless my pants are off and my dick's out. I know, like this right now is my 5-week shadow and there's no hair. Like from my waist up, no hair at all. Waist down, hairy as shit. Naked, I look like Pan. That's a very specific joke, but if you get it, you're welcome.
The laughs continue on the Oscar Bernie and Ernie History of Comedy Show.
Great to be back here in Vegas talking comedy.
Beach hey. Cleveland, right?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It gets so cold back there, seeing those people sitting in the bleachers and stuff, getting all bundled up.
Ugh.
I don't miss that at all.
Not at all. Not in the least. You know, yeah, I know. Hey, I had been, it was supposed to be here last week, and I had pneumonia. And I mean, I've been sick for a few weeks.
How the heck did you get pneumonia?
Well, you know, and it's like, you know, I called the media. I called, you know, I mean, NBC and CNN and all them people.
Why is that?
Well, because, you know, I got pneumonia immediately after Hillary groped me.
Oh, this is a first. This is a first, America.
I told him, you know, Hillary was here in town.
Ernie got groped.
She groped me. She grabbed me by the, you know.
By the Johnson?
Not by the knees, okay?
Ah, and, not the left knee, not the right knee.
You know, and I mean, she seemed impressed.
Must have been the weenie.
You know, which, you know, from what I hear from Bill, it doesn't take much to impress her.
Ouch.
But I mean, the fact is she, you know, I call, I says, you know, she groped me, I mean, and I got pneumonia out of her. She goes, and they says, well, you
this
know.
This is breakthrough news.
CNN, they didn't want to listen to me. They didn't want to report it. They told me, now, if Trump groped me, groped you, then you know they'd have a story.
Ah, yeah, that would be, you know, that, I mean, would be a, that would be a story.
They just don't want to
hurt. That's an old story. He's been groping everybody. I mean, you know, I mean, that's it. But Hillary, that's breaking news, right?
Oh yeah,
there.
She. I mean, and I'm, you know,
did she go for your pocket?
Well, you know, I was in a dress, and she's a lesbian, you know. So
you're, what? An early so Halloween.
She was
you're
pretty
out
surprised
there,
when she grabbed. You know, yeah, when she, I was dressed as Madonna.
As Madonna. Oh,
and
yeah.
So when she grabbed,
what
me,
restroom
she
did you
was,
use?
I used the. And, you know, which they all said, hey, Madonna, you know, they had no problem.
They're used to seeing her in the men's room,
yeah,
yes.
Standing up, you know, peeing. So,
I think there was a picture
kind
of
girl.
That.
And, yeah. But I mean, yeah, Mammy, I mean, so,
she's got balls.
Yeah, you know, when so she groped me and was surprised because, you know, yeah, but the fact, it's just, you know, I mean, the bias in the media, it just irritates
me. No, I
the
know. We got to let people know. I mean, we got to get this out there to, what is it, the AP. They got to know about this.
Oh, poop heads. No. I mean, I guess we better
Hillary's
be nice.
In Vegas groping.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, and it's like
groping for votes.
Hillary could, you know, Hillary could have slapped the crap out of Mother Teresa, and they would have said that she was just trying to shake her.
There was
hand.
A fly. No, there was a fly on her face. I mean, yeah. She's in India. There's a lot of flies. You know. You know.
Trump would shake her hand, and they'd say
he groped her.
He grabbed for her.
I'm surprised they haven't said he screwed a goat yet. I mean, I'm waiting for it. I know. I know they're going
to
say
it's irritating. You know. Which brings us to
The fact that the educational system in the United States
sucks.
Is totally screwed up. And James Ernest Blackie, Jim Blackie, wrote a book about public schools, The Worst Case of Child Abuse in American History. And our tax dollars go to teaching our kids not a whole lot, not even cursive
well,
writing.
Well, you know, and it's like I do a lot of stuff for education as far as trying to change things. The biggest thing is, you know, now you're a businessman, and there's a lot of business people out there. And I always ask them, I says, if you had an employee who was doing a good job, but was had enough, couldn't do any more, was, you know, just, you know, struggling on getting everything done, would you give her more work or him? Would you pile on more work to that person? What would your answer be?
I would think not.
Yeah, because, you know, unless, of course, you wanted them to fail. So now our school system, which was meant to teach kids how to read and write and do arithmetic, teach the history, the real history of this country. So rather than, you know, I mean, we've been having trouble with doing just that. So what is our intelligent, you know, educational leaders, what do? They say, well, let's have them teach sex ed and multiculturalism and drug prevention and and environmentalism and climate change.
And no comedy. They got to teach some comedy, for God's sakes.
They just keep, well, it's a comedy in itself, a comedy of errors. I mean, so they keep throwing more and more stuff on the education system. Then they wonder, well, gosh, why is it failing? Well, you know, I mean, we were just barely getting by when we were teaching the basics. And now you want us to be the parent, too. You know, and
no, I see what you're saying. All the other cultural stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, important. It's important to understand the world around us. You know what I mean?
Well, it is. But I mean, you know, you go to China. You know, they say, well, China, they're so much smarter than we're. They don't teach multiculturalism. They don't teach sex ed. They don't teach that bullcrap.
Right.
They teach the kids how to read. They teach them how to do it. I mean, that's just, and the way we teach how to read is that's a comical.
Well, what I found is when I had the bird over at the one school here in town, and we were talking, it was the reading week, when they would do the reading week here, the one teacher just wanted the two best kids that could read to get up there and read. And I kind of put a stop to it because it was like give every kid in the room a chance and let them each take a bow after they read. Because the whole thing is that if you can teach kids to be confident and have some self-esteem, that goes a long ways to their development and their character.
But you know how you build up self-confidence and self-esteem.
Let them take a chance. Let them take risks.
Teach them how to fail.
There you go. No, that's true, because once you're not afraid to fail and you'll take risks, you'll take chances.
You know, I mean, it's like, what? You didn't do. Maybe you're not the smartest kid in the world, but that's okay. You probably can do this better than I can. You know, and there's something out there that you're better. I mean, and I've told you this before, and there's been a lot of research. You know, I mean, Rudolf Flesch, Samuel Blumenfeld, now Alex Newman, who's a friend of mine. You know, they all published things and showing the scientific proof that the way we teach how to read, the look-say method, or the whole language, or sight reading, whatever you want to call it, that causes dyslexia.
And here's the thing, too. You got three types. People either audio, visual, or they're feeling-based. And most people are visual. In other words, when they talk, they'll say, I see what you mean. Or somebody who's audio say, I hear what you're saying. And there's those three kind of elements within our behavioral makeup of people.
Well, you know, that's true. You know,
so you got to appeal to that. I mean, one kid might not be hearing you because he's a visual person. You know?
But I mean, the thing is you got a 15-minute class period to teach a kid, or you know, K through six. You have the class period what you're teaching. You have about usually about 50 minutes to teach that. You don't have time to teach to each ecclesiastical way of teaching. So you teach the way we've been teaching for 1,000 years or, a couple hundred years, which was very successful. It's the way they teach in other countries. Some people will be better at education. Some people will be smarter at it. You know, if everybody in this country had a PhD would be useless.
Right.
If everybody has a high school diploma, would be useless, which it is right now. Having a high school diploma doesn't mean anything because over 30%, some people say it's close to 40% of the kids who graduate can't even read their diploma.
Well, I know. That's terrible. That's not good. But taking this to one step where when I get in front of an audience, I realize that the people in front of me are those three types. So when I'm talking to them, I got to say certain words that they pick up on and catches their attention, because like you say, the average attention span is only 7 minutes tops anyways. So if you're going to hold people's attention, it's like when you're performing in front of them, you got to, as a teacher does too, you got to be able to relate to them in certain ways. It's even like how you change the cadence of your voice. Jerry Spencer, a very successful lawyer, I don't know if the guy's ever lost a case, he wrote a couple books on it, and he talks about how he would almost mesmerize the jury by the way his voice was and the things that he said. And that's what we do on stage. A lot of guys, it's like you say, people are afraid to fail. In comedy, it takes a lot of perseverance to continue to get on stage, because your first time up, rarely does anybody,
knock them dead.
Yeah, or hand you a contract. So it's one of those things you're constantly doing over and over and over again to get better at.
But that's also, getting back to teaching, that's a misnomer, is that the teacher should be an entertainer. Because there's not a lot of people who can do what
I know.
Get up there and get in front of that and entertain. No. The fact is, you know, if you want to learn, it's the parents' and the students' responsibility to learn. You know, I mean, you know, what happened to the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, but you can throw a kid in a classroom, you can't make him learn. He's got to motivate himself.
But
he's got to want to learn that.
It's true, up to the person. But most seven-year-olds could care less about learning. They're trying to put in their time and get out. I was the kind of kid, the only time I paid attention in class, well, I mean, there's a lot of kids with ADD, especially back when I was in school, they didn't know how to handle it.
Well, it's from your Ohio. That's an ADD state. Yeah,
there you go. But what they did with me is... I had almost show and tell almost every day. It was like I had to get up and talk to almost every day. The kids got to have attention. So the teacher was smart enough to say, okay, Johnny, every day you come to class, bring something from home and talk about it. Good thing I never found my old man's condoms. But, I mean, other than that, you know, I mean, that was kind of my beginnings and getting up in front of people. And the
point is, again, you know, I mean, not everybody's going to have a class clown like you and like I was. And I mean, it's the responsibility has to go back to the parents, you know, and it has to go back to the student. You know, a teacher can get up there. All the teacher needs to do is be able to disseminate information. That's what a teacher's supposed to do.
But if they do it in a boring manner, they're not going to catch those kids'
attention. You know
what?
Some of the greatest teachers we have had out there, most boring people in the world.
Well, yeah, if you want to learn that subject because you got a fire under your gut to learn
it. Well, because you have
that.
To. I mean, you have to. I mean, see, that's the point. That's why people don't want to be teachers is because, you know, there's so many expectations. Now they have to be the parent. They have to be an entertainer. They have to, you know, kids sit down. I mean, when I went to school, 90% of the teachers were not somebody I'd want to go out and have a beer with today. You know,
right.
But they were smart, and they here's what you need to know.
Right,
and I mean, and we've lost that. You know, it's like you have to teach me. No, you have to learn from me.
Right,
you know,
you have to
shut your damn mouth and listen. And you know, and that's the problem. Remember, you know, I umpired baseball for 100 years
right
here. You know, and I always did the state championship game behind the plate for 6-7 years in a row because I had a great strike zone and I, you know, wasn't afraid. And the one thing I noticed about umpiring is everybody knows just enough about baseball to get them in trouble because they argue the dumbest thing. You know, like the tie goes to the runner thing. Everybody knows that a tie goes to the runner, right? Well, if you actually read the rule says the runner must beat the throw. If you have to beat the throw, a tie, you didn't beat the throw. So actually a tie goes to the, you know, and that was one of the biggest, I threw more coaches and players out because they argue that with me than any other thing. And that's the same way with teaching. Everybody thinks they know just enough about teaching to what makes a great teacher. I constantly am asking that on my webs, you know, on when I'm talking to people and stuff, what makes a great teacher? And they'll list off 100 things and 99 of them are what a good parent should be. None of them are what a good teacher should be. A teacher needs to know their subject, needs to like kids and care about kids, needs to be compassionate to them. But, I mean, you know, they need to know their subject matter. That's the main thing.
How would you teach a bunch of comedians? You know, you got a class of class clowns.
Well, you know, that would be a real tough problem. I would say my guesstimate, you probably have to throw 4 or 5 of them out of the class, you know, to get the picture.
No, don't
across.
Be the high achievers. Those you want to keep around.
They were the high smoke achievers.
The comics
back then. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's terrible. You know, and I wrote the book and got fired for it. And there's
comedy right in there.
Oh my gosh, what I went through. I mean, you know, and it's disgusting. I mean, I love it. That's why I love comedy so much. I love to go listen to comics and people who are really funny because it lightens the spirit. I mean, because what's going on? I mean, you were talking about taxes a minute ago, and because you're a tax guy.
I've been known to keep a couple of people out of jail.
Yeah, not me. And and I mean, you know, because I was a teacher, you know, I paid into Social Security because I worked until I was 30. I mean, I didn't start teaching until I was 36.
Didn't they have a state retirement plan?
Yeah,
separate?
So, you're supposed to work and, you know.
But you paid into both.
But I paid into both. And, you know, when I started teaching, I didn't pay into Social Security, but I paid in until I was 35 years old.
And the other jobs you had.
Yeah, I mean, all the other jobs.
And what, they deny you Social Security?
No, but I mean, I was due a certain amount of money. You know, this is your benefit. Oh, you were a teacher. we're going to take 45% of your money, your benefit. We're going to take it and take it back. So in essence, if I was supposed to earn $1,000 a month,
right,
I would only get $540 because the government thinks it's their freaking money, and which is so funny. They think it's their money, and so they passed this windfall thing. Said anybody who's a teacher or gets
They want to take. I follow.
It's ridiculous. It's you know, I mean, and it's just how this. That people, you know, I mean, there's, you know, and I've heard a lot of comics who are great at it too, talking about it's my money, not yours. Yeah, you know, these guys up in Washington, I swear, they're all jokes.
Well, you got to do is you just got to lay low, get a motorhome, and head out down the highway.
No.
Go sit and look at some mountains and some sunsets.
Well, I tell you, I mean, my wife and I'd love to do that.
I think we got some more we're going to listen to here. Yes, yeah, some good. More comedy that our producer is going to play.
This year she had a little bit of a meltdown.
Lighten it up a little bit.
Because my son graduated, and so one day I'm sitting there watching TV, and she comes in and she goes, Bill, we have to talk. And I'm like, oh, God, what? And she goes, we need to take a family vacation. I'm like, okay. She goes, no, you don't understand. The kids are all going to be gone. This might be our last chance to have a family vacation. I don't want to miss anything with our kids, so we're going to take a family vacation. I go, what did you not understand about the first answer? Okay, so she booked us on this trip to Costa Rica. Now, my definition of the word vacation is this. Me in a beach chair with a Mai Tai in my hand and keep them coming till I roll off face first into the sand. That's vacation. My wife's idea of a vacation is we fly to another land and then we take trips from there. No, see, that's just called traveling. So she books this whole trip. We get to the Los Angeles airport, and we're standing. The security line is wickedly long, but we still have plenty of time. So we're standing there in line, me and my two kids and my wife, and all of a sudden I hear this, well, great. This is just great. I booked this whole trip, and we're going to miss it because this security line is not moving. And I go, honey, it's fine. We got plenty of time. Relax. I know. I knew it. I knew it. We have one connection to make, and it's a tight connection. If we don't get through that, we're going to miss that plane, and we're going to miss our whole vacation. I won't be able to do anything with the kids, and I'm going to miss everything. And I go, honey, take the Xanax the doctor gave you and relax. Here comes the tears. I knew you didn't care. I knew you didn't care. As long as you get to play your golf and watch TV, you're happy. But we're going to miss this vacation. I spent so much time on this. And if you love me, you would go to that security guard and tell him who you are and see if there's another way we can get around this line. Or not. I knew you didn't love me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm not sleeping with a security guard, but I got to climb in bed with this mixed bag of nuts. So I go around the security line, and I walk into this guy, the security TSA guy, and I go, hi, is there another way we can get through this? And he goes, are you handicapped? Oh. I'm married. He goes, I feel your pain, but it's not enough. And I go, sir, listen, I never, ever, ever do this. But my name's Bill Engvall, and I have a show on television. And he goes, oh, my God, yeah, I didn't recognize the ball cap and the sunglasses. Oh, man, yeah, how are you doing? I go, I'm good, how are you doing? He goes, you getting hounded by autograph seekers? I'm like, no. But if it starts, yeah. And he goes, is it just you? And I go, that's the thing, my whole family's back there. And he goes, well, come on, let's go get them. I'm like, this is really working. He walks us back. He walks back to my family. He goes, "Is this everybody?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "We'll take care of this." He turns around. He goes to this whole security line. Everyone, listen up. This is Bill Engvall, and he has a show on television, and he's worried he's going to miss his plane if you people keep asking for autographs. So let's do this. Anybody who wants an autograph, come on up now, or leave him alone. Of course, everybody's looking at me like I'm the three-headed circus freak, you know. He goes, I think he'll be fine. I turned to my wife and I said, I almost grabbed his gun and shot you. So we get through the line just fine. We get on the plane. We take off. Everything's great. She goes down to sleep. Xanax and vodka. We'll do it every time, FYI. I got my headphones on. I'm listening to my music, flipping through magazines. And all of a sudden, we start descending into Costa Rica, and we hit some turbulence like you would not believe. Drinks are flying off of trays. People are standing up or getting thrown down the ground. And I'm a great flyer until the flight attendant freaks out. That's my red flag. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is really bumpy. I look up at the flight attendant. She jumps up and goes, everyone sit down. This is going to be bad. And I had my headphones on. I go, what? And she goes, shut up and sit down. I'm like, oh, my God. They don't tell you to shut up unless it's going to be really bad. And so all of a sudden, she goes, you just sit down. I'm like, oh, my God. And I look over at Gail, and she's sound asleep. I'm like, oh, my God. I yelled at her in the airport, and I feel so bad, and we're going to crash. And I want to tell her I love her. And I go, honey, wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. As soon as I wake her up, we hit smooth air, land in Costa Rica. And she goes, why did you wake me up? And I go, because we were going to crash, and I didn't want you to miss anything.
Funny. Bill Engvall.
Love that guy.
Man, he's in Vegas a lot. He comes in here, and he used to work with Jeff Foxworthy. They did the...
He still does. Larry the Cable Guy.
Right. Exactly.
I worked with Larry on his first Christmas special.
Nice.
Yeah, it was... Carrot Top was the ghost of Christmas future. And so, Larry, I mean, Carrot Top was lucky because it was they shot this in, you know, July. And so there's this big, huge costume that you have to wear, that he had to wear as ghost. And so he obviously didn't want to wear it the whole time. And so whenever the whole costume was on, that was me.
Oh, wow.
I was the one who did all the work and all the acting.
Oh, that's what I was supposed to be, you know.
And then Carrot Top gets in a nice suit and then takes the thing off, and he's the one who did all the work in that. It's funny because when I was working at the golf course out at Bally High, Larry came out a couple of different times, and he's just a nice guy, and, you know, he always would come out, hey, get her done, you know. And, you know,
how's your golf?
One of the he probably wouldn't want me to say, but he's just one of the nicest guys, really.
Well, if you're out there bogeying around having fun, that's the main thing.
Yeah, and he was just a nice guy, and you know, he remembered the special, and he remembered that. You know,
nice.
And
what
was bad? It was so hot. I was in that suit for an hour.
Well, let me ask you this: your Screen Extras Guild. I mean, you're in the union,
right?
Did you get extra pay because you were like in combat fatigues or something like that?
No, I don't think I was in the union at the time. Oh. That was quite a while ago. Before I was in the union.
Oh, wow.
And so, it was, I think it was a non-union thing.
Huh.
But I wasn't in the union at the time, or maybe it was like they got, you know, did one
they
of those
usually
things.
They usually give you like an up, what do they call it, an upgrade?
Yeah.
And they give you an upgrade and get you paid a little
it
more.
It helped me get my card. I think that was one of the things that helped me get my card.
Oh, it might have been a union voucher that you got paid on.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Because they should have done something special for you when you got to do something extra like
but
that.
But I tell you, I feel sorry for Carrot Top because he had to get in that thing. And I mean, I was just sweating like a pig under there. So he had to get in that thing, and it probably didn't smell real good.
We did a monster truck commercial here in town, and a guy got a bump. He got an upgrade because he had like an exploding hot dog in his face as this thing was jumping over, monster truck was jumping over some Mini Coopers and stuff out of.
Yeah, there is hazardous duty pay for some of those.
It was funny. It was about two seats down from him, and mustard was flying everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got any kind of hazardous, but I mean, it should have been for Carrot Top.
We got extra pay being at the Larev Theater for that Mall Cop 2. Because all the water that was in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a water scene. We got a bump for that. It was kind of funny scene.
Yeah, it's funny. All us nobodies, how we get to do. You know, I was in, I was Will Ferrell's double.
Really?
In the, he was in with Mikey Mike, whatever his name is, Wahlberg.
Oh, right.
What was that show? What was that thing they did a few years ago? They shot thing in Vegas. I forget the name of the show. It was a good show, actually was.
Huh.
But, you know, Mark and he were in watching they were cops and they were in watching the Frankie Valli show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we got to watch that for a while. And so whenever
was really Frankie Valli there singing?
No. It's the
the Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys, yeah. So they were in there watching the Jersey Boys. So whenever you watch the show, the other guys was the name of the show. So whenever you see that, they show a shot of, you know, Will Ferrell standing up and acting like an idiot from the back. That's actually me acting like an idiot.
So. Ah, no kidding. Now, did you get to talk to him a little bit?
Nah, they weren't. Neither of them were anywhere around.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the only guy, the one guy was, I actually was James Gandolfini's stand-in.
I remember that because I was on that set.
Yeah, you were on that set. And he was, gosh, you know, I cried when he passed away. Yeah. I mean, he just was, nicest man. 2 days.
I mean,
and
you know, 59 years old to drop over. Oh, man. And then he died.
Well, he, you know, I mean, he smoked. He dropped out and died. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing with Jimmy Still. I mean, he drank Joke Cola and smoked like a fiend. I mean, yeah. It was like.
Well, he was a big guy, and he smoked the cigars. Yeah. And you know, after the shoot was done, he walked over and sat down next to me and lit up a cigar and talked to me. We just talked for 15 minutes. Asked me what I did. And you know, just shot the breeze with me like I
interesting
was.
Interesting guy.
Just a nice man. In fact, the second day of the shoot, he came up to me and apologized because he didn't say hi to me right away because he was focused on something else. And he
Randy
apologized
Quaid.
To me,
I heard the same thing about Randy Quaid. I found a lot of people. Michael Douglas was nice to talk to. I mean, and I saw Morgan Freeman talking with people on set, too. I mean, some sets they tell you, you know, don't talk to anybody. Yeah. Don't even look at them. Wah, 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 wah. But Las Vegas was a nice set. That was a good show.
That was there in town. I knew that show was going to be funny before anybody else did because I was actually in the read through with all those guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was sitting in there with all of them. You know, Michael Douglas, Freeman, and all
no
of the
kid.
Guys.
Now, how did you get on that? Were you sitting? I mean, you reading somebody's part? Or?
Yeah, I read three or four different guys' parts. You know,
no kidding.
Yeah.
But you didn't nail any of them. They brought somebody in from L.A.
The guy who had I'd auditioned for one of the parts, and so they had me do the read through for a couple. And the part I read for was the gal he was going to marry. I was read for his father's part, and you know the line I had. It's kind of funny. You're kind of in awe with all these people in there,
right?
You know, Mary Steenburgen, you know, Robert De Niro,
right.
Michael
you're
Douglas.
You're in there with the king, Too bad you couldn't take any pictures while you're in there.
And, yeah, couldn't do that. And so, I mean, I read my line, you know, and I hit it right on. Just having everybody laughing there at the line, you know. I mean, they just watching all these guys laugh. It was pretty cool. And, you know, and then
you'd
I
like
see
to the, be doing it every day. And, I'll tell you what.
Then you see the guy doing it.
Fun.
The guy who does the
right
gets the part and does it because he's from L.A. Because people in Vegas don't know that.
I know.
You know and no one. It wasn't even funny.
At least you know. I mean, and this is the truth. You've got some comedic experience behind you. I mean, a lot of people don't have the balls to get on stage as it is, anyways. Even though it was many years ago, at least you know, when you do your public speaking and stuff, you know, it's not like you're afraid. It's like when I saw Freddie Prinze, I was just so amazed at the guy, and then he gets on TV and did what he did. I mean, and I encourage young comics especially to go out and find some community theater. Go do a play. It's free. You know what I mean? You don't have to pay these companies, you know, $6,000 for acting lessons and photographs and everything like these people do here in town. You're better off, and I'm not going to name the names of these big places, but anyways.
Yeah, you know, the most fun I ever had, you know, every year they have the Passion Play here in town around Easter time, the week before Easter, and I did that 3 years in a row.
Nice.
I was Peter the first year, and then I was Caiaphas the last 2 years. And I mean, I had more fun doing that than anything. Caiaphas is kind of fun because he's such an evil bastard, you know.
Well, was he the guy that catered the Last Supper, probably?
Caiaphas was the man.
He overcharged.
Everybody always blames Pilate for what happened, but Caiaphas was – he was the – real evil dude. He was the one who caused Jesus to be hung on the cross. I mean, it was him.
And we remember the old joke, you know, name the two guys hanging there next to Jesus. Nobody remembers them. They only just remember the headliner. So with that, I want to thank Ernie for coming out here tonight, hanging with Oscar and Bernie. Happy to be here. And our producer, Jay Bird. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in. We're going to be here again next week.
Ciao.
Adios.
Mm-hmm.